Let's bow our heads for a moment of silent prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for this day that we've been able to come and to worship you. We thank you for the blessing of the moisture that we've gotten in the last week. We thank you for walking with us through the Christmas season. But we are saddened with the idea that not everyone had a great Christmas season. We're saddened by those that don't have a place to live, money for food. Their lives are a shambles. And so we stop for a moment, Lord, and just ask that you watch over them. That you help us to be there for them, if only in prayer. But help us to remember that we're supposed to be your light, to reach out to those in our community that are hurting, those that are in our church that are hurting, and sometimes we aren't even sure we are. We've lied to ourselves so long that we aren't sure that we're really hurting or that we're really good. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that you watch over all those out there that Christmas hasn't been a great time. Be with those that are traveling today and help them to get where they're going and get home again as our Christmas season is winding down. We think of those this morning that are homesick, those that don't feel well, those that decided that they didn't want to give the rest of us what they have. And so we just thank you, Lord, for watching over them. We ask, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon them. You are the great physician. You can help them to heal. And so we ask, Lord, that you watch over our flock, that you watch over our community. You watch over everything that we hold dear this morning. And touch the lives of those that aren't feeling well. We think of our servicemen and women and our missionaries around the world. We thank you for Berdina and her willingness to give of herself to keep this business, so to speak, this help up for those in Africa that they might be able to sustain themselves, learn to take care of their money and to spend it wisely. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that you put a hedge of protection around their group and those that will be there in April. And we just ask, Lord, that you give them strength and wisdom as they do the job that they have been called to do. We think of those that can't be with us, like Lloyd and Jean this morning, who truly want to be here, who would love to be here every Sunday, but their physical health doesn't allow that. And so we ask, Lord, that you be with them. Help them to know that we're praying, that we are reaching out through you. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds this morning to your word. Help us to stop and think about where we are and where we're going. Help us to reevaluate. So this morning, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit take over this service. That you touch us. That you read into our hearts. And all God's people said, Amen.
You may be seated.
Well, you know, we went through Christmas, right? You know, you wish somebody Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, right? So, I mean, that goes together. Last week, I tried very hard to preach a Christmas sermon, and so I thought this week, maybe we'll try New Year's. Who knows? I mean, we might get there. But I don't know about you. I tell people I don't have New Year's ideas that I'm going to stop something or whatever you want to call it, you know. I don't try to give up anything. I definitely don't try to add anything because that just gives me more things to do, right? And if I was to have a New Year's resolution, it'd probably be the same as it was. You know, I've failed at losing weight and those kind of things so often that it has become something that is almost laughable. But then again, if you look at the statistics around the world, and especially the United States, New Year's resolutions are, in and of themselves, laughable. Because most of the time we make it through the first couple weeks. Some of us might even push it into the second month. But by the end of the second month, as a nation, we're down around the 2 to 3%. And, you know, so I have, my brother used to say that he'd kept his New Year's resolution because his New Year's resolution was that he wouldn't actually slap somebody that really deserved it. And he hadn't done that yet. And sometimes I think it's that way. We don't really give away anything or take on anything that would definitely make us change a whole lot. You know, We're gonna pray more, but that's relative, right? If I'm gonna pray more, does that mean I'm gonna pray every day, or does that mean I'm gonna pray twice a day, or maybe I'll just pray once a month and that'll be more? You understand what I'm trying to say here? Doing something more never really helps us. Now, as I was going through the thing last summer for the recalibrate, the whole idea of that was we was going to write down exactly what we planned on doing, and we started with that thought process. Because as a group, as human beings, if we write something down and then show that to somebody else, it makes a bigger change in our lives. But I'm not here to tell you what you want to do or need to do for New Year's, right? I'm just saying that this morning, we kind of want to look at it from that point of view. And, you know, I think I try to tell people I don't do anything. But subconsciously, I'm really trying to do something. You know, I may not tell anybody, but I'm going to do something. It may not be great, may be a wonderful thing, who knows? Well, this morning I would like to turn to the 13th chapter of John, starting with the 31st verse. John 13:31. And when he was gone, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, and this isn't sounding right. It's right. Sorry. I guess I never read up through 31. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you for a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, we've discussed this scripture before. It's like it's something that we discuss a lot because God is love. We always jump back to this set of scripture because it helps us to stop and realize what Jesus wanted from us. He wanted us to love one another. He had a new commandment for us. Something new we could do. But is it really new? And if it isn't really new, why did he say it was new? Now, if I recollect correctly and I go back to the Ten Commandments, I'm thinking the first one that comes off the top of my head is love the Lord your God. So, is it really new? Don't we already know that we're supposed to love one another? Why is it so important for Jesus to come out here and say to love one another? Are we not doing a good enough job, or were they not doing a good enough job? You know, if we stop and really read the Gospels for what they are, Jesus is always in conflict with those that are in charge of the temple, those that are teaching the law, those that are supposed to be helping the people, and they're not. They have circumvented the law. They've changed it in such a way that they have lost sight of loving God in lieu of loving themselves. And so, as Christians, we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing. As a church body, we have to make sure that we don't do that also, right? I mean, we're going to have the armed services thing, the 13th, right? And we're supposed to invite people that don't come to our church. Not that this whole idea isn't a great idea, don't get me wrong. I want to applaud them for having an outreach. But why, as a group of Christians, would we need an outreach? Why would God have us have an outreach? Because he doesn't want us to love ourselves more than those out there, more than those that aren't coming to church, more than those that really need us, more than those that don't know him. We need outreach, but that should be normal. We shouldn't actually have to, quote unquote, have a special day to make that happen. As Christians, it is our job to go be disciples, and if we go to be disciples, are we not already doing the outreach? And so we have to stop and realize what Jesus is actually saying here. Is he really that worried that he needs to have a new commandment? God's already told us that we do this. Jesus told us if we loved him, we would obey him, right? So we need to do these kinds of things. We need to love one another because that's what he told us to do. And he tells us here that it is a new commandment. The only reason it's a new commandment is that he's trying desperately to get us to realize that we aren't doing that great a job. We never have. But he wants to make sure that when this is all done and said, that we realize still, first and foremost, is we're supposed to love one another. Just like God has loved us, or he has loved us. We don't always do that. We tend to be very self-absorbed in our thinking as human beings. We really think that we're all it and then some. And so we have problems really loving one another. And as we think about New Year's and we think about things that we might want to change, you know, I have told you that prayer and Bible study and all those things are important and good things to add to your list of things that you're going to change this year. Because in the back of your mind, you're still going to have that list. Or at least I do. And that's really tough for me because I like to stay in that nothing box. And that way I don't have to do as much. But as we're going through this, is our Christianity or our new covenant that Christ died on a cross for us actually entail loving the unlovable? Is it something that as a Christian we see as important in our life? Because this is a new commandment. And it's a new commandment because we have failed. Not us per se, but the human race has failed to not only love God, but love one another. I mean, think about the world today and the chaos that goes on from one country to another, from one side of town to another. We have race wars, we have gang wars, we have all this stuff going on, and somehow I don't see love in all that. And we sure wouldn't reach over those boundaries. But I've noticed even within family units, we have these things. In my family, I see these going on. I don't quite understand them. And somehow I'm even in them, but I don't know how they work. I don't know how you end up being on one side of the fence or the other, but I have found myself there. By myself. And I've come to the conclusion, I got there because I, number one, am a Christian. I'm an easy mark. Because I want to love everybody. But as soon as you do that, you almost look two-faced. Like you're trying to get something, especially in my family. If you're too nice to the wrong person, there's a whole side of the family aren't even going to talk to you. But that person needs love just like everybody else, right? And as Christians, we need to learn that we aren't here on earth for our own good. God would not have left us here just for our own good. We're supposed to love everyone, even if that isn't easy. Or even if that isn't the norm of the day. You know, and the sad part of life in general is in our day and age, there is so many things that you can be on the wrong side of the fence and never know it. And you think you're doing a great thing, but for some reason, somebody else doesn't see it that way. And so Christ here is telling us that this is a new commandment because he wants to reinforce the idea that the only way people will know we're Christians is if we're different. If we're willing to put ourselves out there on our shirt sleeve, so to speak. If we're willing to love other people even if it doesn't look good. We're willing to put our arm around the guy that doesn't smell so good. Carol has to do that all the time, and that's marriage. But we have to learn to reach out every day, not just on those really important days like Christmas or New Year's or Armed Services Day or whatever. We have to learn to love everyone every day because the new covenant doesn't take loving God away. And if we're going to love God, one of the first and most important things we have to know is that the only way to love God is to love others. Because that's what he's asked us to do. If we don't learn to love one another, truly love, then are we really truly Christians? Have we actually stepped over that line so far that we can't step back? Has gossip and being in charge and all those kinds of things as human beings that we think is so important, has that negated loving one another? Because as I watch people around, and we just went to a family reunion, and it was a really nice family reunion, all joking aside, because it seemed like everybody actually enjoyed being there. Okay? Which is, it's on Carol's side. Okay? Just wanted to point that out. Mine aren't near that easy. But they actually wanted to be there. They cared to be there and they tried to get along. But even in that setting, there were those that wanted you to know that they were this much better than you. Or at least this much better than some. Or that their job was way more important. See, no matter how you slice this, Jesus isn't telling us anything new. Not really. He's just helping us remember that as human beings, this isn't our first love, so to speak. Our first love is to love ourselves. Our first love is to make sure that we're on the throne and doing things our way. No matter what that is. It may be as simple as how you set the table. It may be way over top of that. You know, I quite often hear people say, well, they done this and da-da-da-da-da, and then at the end they go, but they didn't do it the way I would have done it. Is that really love? Were they really appreciative? Were they really doing what God would say? Because quite honestly, let's stop and think about how we live our lives on a daily basis and what God would say. You know, I read through Job and understand that God is a merciful God but he used Job for a very important example. And the whole time, even though Job was upset with what God did, Job did not curse God. And I can guarantee you that even while he's railing on God for taking everything away from him, while he's griping about everything that he should have had and already had, and why did God take it away from him? He hadn't done anything wrong. God didn't come back the next day and go, "Well, Job, he'd done a pretty good job. He hasn't said anything. He hasn't denounced me. He still loves me." But really, he shouldn't rail on me like that. God would never say that. God would always make sure that at the end of his statement, we knew he loved us. Because he said he would. See, throughout the whole Bible, the Lord our God loves us. Not some of the time, not part of the time. He may not like everything that we do, but at the end of the day, no matter what we do or when we do it, he's willing to forgive us. He's willing to allow us to be who we are and love us in spite of ourselves. And the beauty of that is, the reason we know that, the hope that we have, is that Christ came and died on a cross, knowing full well why he came, walked to the cross knowing what would happen, and did it because he loved us, in spite of who he knew we would be, in spite of those that did not love one another, did not love God. So, last year is almost over. Next year is in the future. And I think we need to stop and think about what God, Jesus said. "I leave you with this new command, to love one another." Because that's where our hope is. That's where our faith ought to be. That we serve a God that's not only alive, that not only was resurrected on the third day, but one that defeated sin, defeated the evil one. And he loves us and has asked us to love one another. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to learn from what you have to say. That we can stop and, as we get ready for the next year, stop and really understand that no matter how we live next year, we only have one thing that we really need to do. And that is love one another so we can prove that we love you. And so as we go into the next year, give us that hope and joy and faith that we know that you're right there with us. That as long as we are loving those around us, that we're doing everything that you have asked us to do, that we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we love you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
For our closing hymn, let's turn to page 567 and please stand.
The
Things that we like going to Illinois to go do, sightsee our family, is to go to church and hear CJ as he leads worship. It's just really good. And so I had to twist his arm and get him to sing for us today, and I appreciate it. So.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with a holy light for the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the King. Alleluia, how the angels sang. Alleluia, oh, how the chorus rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. Was the birthday of the King. 'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia, how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the King. Alleluia, what the angels sing. Alleluia, oh, how the chorus rang, and the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the King.
You gotta feel sorry for those that didn't make it today. Let's all stand. our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for your tithes and offerings. We thank you for those that give from their heart, those that have come to worship you with their gifts. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that you walk with us, that you guide and protect us, that your mighty hand be upon us as we venture through life doing your will, that we ask that your face shine upon us. And we ask all this in your precious name. Amen.